Thank you for the good singing. I haven't sung Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sin for you. Do you know it, Mijini? I guess they didn't sing it in the Church of God. I remember in my old Baptist days, we used to sing that a lot, and I enjoyed that song. So it was good to hear it again. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Oh God, open the scripture through the power of your Spirit. Let your word, read and proclaimed, pour out until its fragrance fills this house and our lives. Then, anointed with your word, send us out to share the good news we have received. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is with us always. Amen. This morning's scripture I bring from Psalm 126. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The word of the Lord. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. That's what the writer of Psalm 126 cries out in verse 4. Restore our fortunes. The psalm writer is a cancer patient, lying in a hospital bed, going over old family photographs that a friend brought in, pictures of better days, when health was strong and times were good. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. The psalmist is a widow, alone in her gloomy sitting room, watching old home movies of her family 30, 40, 50 years ago. They were laughing. They were running on the beach. They were cooking steaks on the grill at home. Now, her husband is gone. Her kids never come to see her unless they want something. And she's living in a two-room apartment for the aged. What happened to the sunshine? What happened to the laughter, the joy? They all seem to have disappeared over time, evaporated like a mist that will never return. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. This psalmist is a Ukrainian grandfather sitting in the dusty rubble that used to be his home before it was bombed into oblivion by far distant young men who would never know what damage they had done to the soul of a man four times their age. The psalmist is a church that is sadly convinced that its best days are over. Everybody has seen those old photographs of 200 or more bright-eyed members sitting and standing in front of the church in their Sunday best. As Archie and Edith Bunker used to sing, those were the days. But that church picture was taken 50 years ago. What happened to all those people? Where are they now? And why can't we fill our church again on Sunday mornings the way we used to? Restore our fortunes, O Lord. You know, in our own way, most of us have probably prayed that prayer. maybe many times. Every one of us who has ever lost a loved one or has seen rough times financially or has prayed that prayer. Anybody who has ever lived in a broken home or in an abusive relationship or with a dangerous addiction, we've prayed that prayer. We who have been betrayed by a friend or a lover have prayed it. Anybody who has lived through a devastating disaster like a flood or drought or some other horrible thing like that, earthquake, we've prayed that prayer too. Our pain, our needs, our ongoing problems, they all seem to prompt us to crave some sense of security that we might have felt in the past when times were better. Restore our fortunes. May those that go out weeping come back with shouts of joy. Times of pain often cause us to grow nostalgic as we look back to the good old days when life seemed simpler and happier. Remember the 19 cent a gallon for gasoline? Don't hold your breath. And we can see the Israelites doing this very same thing right here in Psalm 126. As an answer to 1,000 million prayers and against all reasonable expectation, the exiled Hebrews had actually been allowed to go back to their homeland, their beloved Canaan. For that first generation of returnees, it had been like a dream come true. Just to see the old familiar places that their parents and grandparents had told them about since they were kids. Just to be in a place that they could actually call their own home. Just to be able to go up to Mount Zion and worship there in that incredibly holy place. It was an experience that most of them had hoped for, but few of them thought would really happen. But it did happen. After 70 eternal years, they came back home. At first, it wasn't much to look at. Jewish homes were all now long gone, raided and looted by generations of brigands and thieves. Their cities were all prostrate. Even the great Temple of Solomon lay in ruins. But eventually, now that they were back, they would rebuild. With a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, they would fight off enemies and reconstruct their homes, the city wall, even the great temple. The eternal promises to Abraham and David would one day come alive. That's what those first returning pilgrims had hoped for. And they were giddy with excitement and anticipation. They were living this dream. No wonder the psalmist writes, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced." But soon, those wild, exhilarating days began to fade, and something else took their place. We don't exactly know what it was. Maybe it was the harsh reality that finally set in that, ooh, this task is too big for us. Maybe the daily grind of work and vigilance against enemies was taking its toll. Maybe there was a lack of resources that kept them from completing their rebuilding project. We don't know. But we do know this. Whatever it was that was dampening their spirits, We see it reflected in the words right here in Psalm 126. The writer describes the people as sowing in tears and going out weeping. And it's only after those words that we get that prayer, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord." Was it a bad thing for this psalmist to look back and yearn for better times? Is it a bad thing for us to do that? To look over those old photos of our church, yearning for the numbers of people that used to frequent our services? Remembering the past can give us hope. We claimed God's presence and power and help in the past, as we just sang about. O God, our help in ages past. Is that not a good foundation for our faith today? We continue to believe that God is able to help us right now in our present situation. We keep praising God from whom all blessings flow, because we believe in God's power to make all things new. Even a church that has run into a rough patch, a time of slow growth, or maybe even decline. We keep praising God because we believe that God's goodness is stronger than the world's badness. Amen. In the midst of difficult and dangerous days, we witness to a new day, a new song, a new thing that God is about to bring about in our lives. Let me read the magnificent words from Isaiah chapter 43. It's fantastic poetry, a little lengthy, but let your spirits just roll with the beauty of this strong message. I quote from the Message Bible. "The God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves, the God who summons horses and chariots and armies, they lie down and cannot get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do a brand new thing, says the Lord. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is." Excuse me. "I'm making a way in the desert, rivers in the badlands. Wild animals will say, 'Thank you.' The coyotes and the buzzards. Because I provided water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I chose, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom-made to praise me." Isn't that magnificent? No, I don't think it's a bad thing for us to look back and remember the good old days. But it is a bad thing if we stay there too long. Amen. Whatever good times we enjoyed in the past, as a family, as a congregation, as a denomination, those good things are not what we should be aiming for now. Because this is a new day, and we must raise our eyes and our spirits to what God is leading us to do now and in the future. God is more than capable of doing incredible things through a church the size of this one. We may feel beat up sometimes. We may feel wounded. But God uses wounded people to help others in their pain. A person facing a terrifying prognosis medically can witness to the power of God's comfort and presence in a way that a person who never had a pain in their life could ever do. Those who have lost jobs can come alongside those who have experienced that same hardship themselves with a word of encouragement, born of knowing what it feels like to be out of work. The widow's bitter loneliness can become a healing balm to someone else who has just lost a loved one. We've experienced that many times, and we may have even been the instrument of it. Any experience that we can face in this life, no matter how dark, no matter how forbidding, is a new opportunity for God to bring wholeness and new life. Rivers in the Badlands, as Isaiah's writer put it. We follow a Savior whose face is set toward Jerusalem, the place of mockery and suffering and death. Suffering can be a byproduct of our relationship with God, a sign of discipleship. We are called to be followers of our Lord, friends, not admirers. Christianity is not a spectator sport. As Christians, we have not been called to play it safe. We've been called to risk everything, which may include letting God use our past hurts to help heal someone else's present wounds. There are so many reasons why we pray those words, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord." We pray that prayer when big expectations are not met. We pray it when the dark specter of grief overshadows us. We pray it when the body just won't seem to do the things it used to do. Amen? As our journey toward Lent continues, ask yourself the question, when has God done great things for me, for us? What do you need from God right now, in this moment? How are you following God right now, in this moment? Is it as an admirer or as a disciple? Friends, we always live as people of memory and people of hope. As Psalm 126 tells us, God's deliverance is far more dependable than our suffering. God's provision is more abundant than our need. In the storm, as in the calm, God is with us. In a time known only to divine wisdom and love, we will be restored. Amen. Would you join me as we pray together? O Lord our God, sometimes we cannot see what you are doing as we look ahead. That's where faith comes in, of course. But that faith is always bolstered and strengthened as we look back and see the way you have led us in the past. Your promises are sure. Strengthen us today with that sure and certain knowledge. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray.